Aid groups are preparing for what they fear could be a disaster if the U.S. goes to war with Iraq. Many nonprofit organizations face serious obstacles as they prepare to help Iraqi civilians. United Nations agencies warn of a financial shortfall as they get ready to feed as many as 10 million Iraqis. The debate at the UN over authorizing the war is making contingency planning especially tricky, NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
Like other U.S. nonprofit relief groups, Save the Children is beginning to stockpile supplies near Iraq. Robert LaPrade says his organization is boosting its operations in northern Iraq and pre-positioning key items in Kuwait and Jordan.
Blankets and plastic sheeting and, you know, clothing and things like that that basically would be stuff that we would have to provide in the very first hours if there are people that are, you know, forced from their homes or must leave their homes in fear.
The lead-up to a possible war has given aid groups some time to do the needed contingency planning, but LaPrade says Save the Children only recently had the chance to send a team to Baghdad to assess the country's needs. The U.S. government just began easing travel restrictions and sanctions that prevented aid groups from going to the region.
Even without war, there are already is a humanitarian crisis there because of the policies of both the Iraqi government as well as the international sanctions against Iraq. The U.S. humanitarian community is still unable to actually get into Iraq and provide for the ongoing humanitarian crisis right now.
According to the United Nations, 1 million children under the age of 5 are chronically malnourished, and 5 million Iraqis lack access to safe water and sanitation. Two-thirds of the population depends on the UN Oil for Food Program, a system put in place to help Iraqis survive international sanctions. The UN's chief emergency relief coordinator, Kenzo Oshima, says a war could disrupt the distribution of a massive amount of food.
460,000 tons per month of food alone, and this is almost four times the largest quantity we were able to deliver during Afghanistan crisis, and this was only possible several weeks after the end of conflict.
Oshima says if the U.S. becomes the occupying power, it has legal obligations to protect the Iraqi population, to provide food and water. But many aid groups are worried about the Pentagon's plans to have a U.S. commander in charge of Iraq, at least initially. They want to see a civilian administration quickly, and many argue the U.N. is well placed. But Oshima says up to now, his contacts with the Pentagon have been minimal. The president of CARE USA, Peter Bell, says the Pentagon should be much more explicit about its plans for meeting the humanitarian needs of Iraqis and should be ready for a very long commitment.
What if we're talking about the rebuilding of the country, which is already in sad disrepair? This is not a project of a few months or even a few years.
Bush administration officials insist they have been doing their contingency planning, meeting regularly with some 30 nonprofit aid groups. Secretary of State Colin Powell, at a recent hearing on Capitol Hill, downplayed concerns that the U.S. will knock out water or electricity supplies or otherwise devastate Iraq's infrastructure.
People talk about reconstruction as if the place is a devastated area now or we're going to devastate it. We didn't devastate it during the Gulf War, and I don't expect we're going to devastate it if there is a conflict in the future. Most of the infrastructure will be intact. The plans that we are looking at for the after would include using the institutions that are there, but purged of Saddam Hussein's cohorts.
The U.S. has pledged about half of the $30 million that member states have promised the United Nations for contingency planning for Iraq. Getting other donor countries to commit funds has been a problem. Many don't want to endorse the idea that war is inevitable, so U.N. agencies have already begun borrowing money from other humanitarian operations. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.